Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Here's Johnny.
Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond.
Make your lives extraordinary.
Restless.
Room 42. Room 42.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk through.
Welcome to I Watch More Movies Than You, and please take that as a challenge. What else on earth can you spend $10 and then leave the planet for 2 hours? Only movies. Come join us as we experience, explore, and journey through the greatest art form in history.
And here we go.
Welcome back, everybody, to I Watch More Movies Than You. You got Haddonfield Radio here, and we got you woof.com. You got Ken.
You got Rob.
And that's a Deep Office reference with a little bit of Halloween Ends, which is trash, and I hate it. But today, we're going to get you guys ready for spooky season. A little bit of The Last Voyage of the Demeter. It's a chapter, the Captain's Log chapter, right out of Bram Stoker's Dracula for the uneducated. Then we're going to skither right on over to Cobweb, a movie that unfortunately released at the height and the exact same weekend of Barbenheimer.
Yes.
Got absolutely demolished. So it came to a $6 VOD rental.
Yep.
Really fast from theaters, and you can go watch it now. So we have two rated R horror movies. We know you're going through a drive-in right now. You're waiting on that autumn breeze. The sky looks different. My wife talks about that. The sun looks different as autumn approaches. You got a golden hue. And we're going to get you two movies to get you ready for the spooky season. And it can't get here. I'm telling you what, Bobby, I am tired of summer.
Oh, me too, dude.
Tired of summer.
I am so over
life.
It.
I'm joking. Just summer.
I am so tired of being hot.
Yes.
And I'm so tired of people telling me how great summer is.
Yeah.
Sucks. My birthday's in summer. Still don't like it.
You don't like your birthday?
Well, I like my birthday, but I don't need summer, is what I'm saying.
No, I'm with you. So bye-bye summer, almost, although we are kind of still in the dog days of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Summer doesn't hit the same as you're an adult. You know, the best part about summer is being out of school.
That's a great
point. But, you know,
point.
When you're an adult, you're having to work anyway. What does it matter?
It doesn't.
Does any of it?
No.
No.
No, this is a very nihilistic episode, people. If you're coming here for a good time, keep on coming. You know what I mean? No, we're going to have fun. Horror is where the heart is. We review movies. You guys know the drill. Normally, it's three. But we're going to get you guys a little horror, double feature. Life's coming at us fast. So we got two today. The Last Voyage of the Demeter and Cobweb.
Did you know that when you sent me the movies that we were going to watch this week, you sent me a screenshot of this first movie, and it all it said was, what if Dracula was on a boat? Up until going to see the movie, I thought that's what it was called.
Are you serious?
I thought it was called Dracula on a Boat.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's been a very Twitter. It's a very online.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. No, yeah. It is. And I truly thought that was the name of the movie up until
that is so
looking
funny.
Up the movie for the ticket. Yeah.
But you're thinking, man, Hollywood's suffering.
Yeah, I thought, wow, they're just getting right to the point.
Some people are saying it actually would have sold a lot more that way.
Oh, maybe so. It's kind of one of those, like, Snakes on a Plane deal, because they had, like, the original title of the movie was, like, whatever that flight was called or something.
Yeah.
And then Sam Jackson was like, no, we need to call this Snakes on a Plane, because that's what this is.
Dadgum, he's worth every penny.
He's worth every penny.
And he's from Chattanooga.
Yes, he is.
Shout out, hey, we got him.
We got Chattanooga?
Yeah, we got Sam.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
The MF-er himself.
You've seen Pulp Fiction, right?
I adore it.
Okay, yes. So you know how, and we're going to cover that one day, people, because that's mm-hmm. a great movie we got to. You know how his wallet says bad MF-er on it?
Yeah.
Someone got that engraved into his lightsaber for Star Wars.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
His lightsaber says bad MF-er.
So you can say, grab the one that says bad MF-er. Yeah, that is amazing. Yeah. And it's purple, remember?
Yep.
He wanted to be different.
Yep. Yeah, he did. He wanted to be different in that big Coliseum scene in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. He's a neat guy.
Yep.
He is. I like him. I think.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, he's excellent in everything he's in.
Unfortunately, he's not in either one of these movies that we're talking about today.
No. But you know what? I'm just so ready. I tell you what, I think Dunkin' Donuts started their pumpkin stuff already.
Oh, wow.
Starbucks is next.
Yeah. Are you a Dunkin or a Starbucks girl?
I go both ways at the same time. And each I promise I go. I do. Yeah, so no. Both.
Yeah.
Starbucks, I have the app, and like Dunkin, I somehow got deleted or something. So like, but I'll get crazy and go to Dunkin.
You get crazy and go to a Dunkin. Wow.
It's they're across the street from each other too.
Yeah, no, I'm aware.
But in the multiverse.
Yeah.
You know what they're whatin'?
What?
Either what was that? Wait, in the last Voyage of the Demeter. Right. Because it is we have a horror movie period piece here, folks. Yeah. Anytime that comes about, I'm always going to watch it. Little soft spot, I suppose.
Horror, Dracula's a soft spot or nautical horror?
Well, you worded it perfect. Nautical horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, yeah. We talked about that last time.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a continuation.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a, yeah.
It's neat. So to give people the, like, there's this thing, the undertone of this is because the Dark Universe that, not WB, Universal wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right? Because we had The Mummy with Cruise and all that. We had two Draculas this year, by the way.
Yeah.
So a part of me thinks they're kind of holding on to that still, even though it keeps getting beat over the head.
Yeah.
I personally love the idea because I love the original Universal. I think Invisible Man's done it best so far.
You know, I had a cousin, shout out Bruce. He called me today,
Bruce.
And he loves the pod. He's a big fan.
Okay.
And he talked about how he can't wait for us to get into some of the monster movies.
Are you serious?
Classic monster movies.
Oh, I love that.
We got spooky season coming up.
We're
definitely going to attack it. Yeah. He's super into it. So
that's all. Yeah. My dad loves Frankenstein.
Yeah, we were talking about Frankenstein today, yeah.
Yeah, that's my Frankenstein's monster.
Did you know, I heard a rumor, I don't know how true this is, but I heard a rumor that there's a potential Bride of Dracula, Bride of Frankenstein movie.
I heard the same thing. I don't know if it's real.
With Bale,
Christian Bale. I heard the same thing. I don't know if I had Bale attached to it.
Yeah, what I heard was starring Bale, directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yes, I did see. I did see the Maggie.
I don't know if that's true, but I would love that.
Yeah, oh, dude. I want... If we got a Frankenstein, though, I badly want Guillermo del Toro attached.
Yeah. Genuinely. Oh, 100%.
I got to tell the people, too, before we get into the last Voyage of the Demeter, I was retweeted by GDT himself.
Yes, you were. What were you even...
Dude, my phone, can I say this, was unusable that day.
Was it really?
From the notifications.
What did he retweet?
He has over 2-something million followers.
What did he retweet?
So he retweeted my... You know, I always do on Twitter. I guess people can...
I actually have you blocked, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, that makes sense because of all the stuff I post. You know what I mean?
No. I don't have you. Problems.
But to give you the exact, because I always do a hashtag now watching when I watch a movie.
Right.
And when I was watching this film, I did just your basic, you know, I didn't think anything of it. I said, now watching The Last Voyage of the Demeter, a chapter right out of Bram Stoker's legendary tale. And I did my usual hashtag now watching whatever. And it just so happens.
And he retweeted that.
He retweeted it.
I wonder if he's a big fan of this movie.
He is a. In his house, he has a giant bust of Frankenstein and a bunch of life-size of those in the Universal Monsters.
But this movie specifically.
I think he is.
Yeah,
I think he supports... This guy, like, he kind of likes the underdog, and this movie is an underdog.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There was
sense.
No marketing. Yeah. There was no... I mean, you know, like, that's just how it goes.
Yeah. Why wasn't there marketing for this?
I don't know.
It's got an interesting cast. Not a lot of names that you know, but there's a couple that I wanted to point out. I mean, do you want to go ahead and give the synopsis before we get into the
character? Yeah, sure. So we got The Last Voyage of the Demeter. Like I said, right out of Bram Stoker's Dracula. You got a crew sailing from Carpathia to England, and they find out they're carrying very dangerous cargo. So based on a single chapter, the captain's log from Bram Stoker's classic in 1897, Dracula, the story set aboard the Russian schooner Demeter, which was chartered to carry private cargo, 24 unmarked wooden crates from Carpathia. Now, some of them had some dragons and stuff on them. I don't know if you caught that. Pretty, you know, occultish stuff. But
yeah.
The film will detail the strange events that befell the doomed crew as they attempt to survive the ocean voyage stalked each night by a terrifying presence on board the ship. When it finally arrives at the Whitby Harbor, it was derelict. There was no trace of the crew. It's one of those movies where you know the ending before you watch it.
Yeah, I heard someone weirdly compare this movie to Titanic.
Oh, that's probably because of the certain scene.
No. Well, the idea is that you know, you as a voyeur on like watching this, you know you're getting
that's
on
a great boat point.
Going nowhere.
That's a great point. Yeah. There's also a really like parallel scene too.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but that's true.
It's also Alien, I think.
It's definitely Alien.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into the meat and potatoes of
this
movie,
we're going to review this film. I want to tell you this. Can we just spoil both?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll start that's off fine. Not spoiling.
Yeah.
And then we'll go spoilers and give people a warning.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's just do it.
Yeah, good, because I think we need the...
Guess me.
Oh, well.
But there's no later. There might not be. Not if he's on board.
Okay, so before we get into Dracula in general...
such a cool fan IP.
Are you a fan? Like, have you watched the movie with Coppola? Gary Oldman? Yeah, yes. Coppola's. Yeah,
love it.
That's a great movie.
That movie's weirdly amazing.
My wife hasn't seen it. Lacey hasn't seen it, but it's hauntingly on our beautiful list. I want us to watch it.
We have to cover it.
That's one of those movies I remember where I was sitting when I was watching it. Oh, you know cool. what I mean? Like I was a teenager. A yeah. But no, I remember it was really late on like a Friday night.
Oh,
like really, really late.
Yeah, the moon was high.
Yeah. And, so were you. I think I started that movie at like close to midnight.
It's a long one too.
And, yeah. Yeah. It stuck with me. Like it's awesome.
It's so good.
Gary Oldman transformed so much. And we're not talking about that
he's
movie
one
right
of
now,
the best. But I think he's one of the best.
But, any other Dracula movies or that's just the lore? Have you read the book?
No, I have it, so I have not read it.
Right.
I obviously one that's kind of, we were talked about this year at Chattanooga Film Fest,
mm-hmm.
Monster Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think right now, because he's been in over 200 films, Dracula
that's
has.
That's crazy.
Bram Stoker's Dracula in 1992, I think that was the Francis Ford Coppola one.
Yeah,
is probably the best one I've ever seen.
It's got to be the
His
best.
His armor one. In that too is just gorgeous.
It's got to be the best.
There's Dracula, Dead and Loving It, Count Dracula. So I'm actually looking through now, and I think that I have not seen a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you just watched Nosferatu, and I'm about to, and we're going to cover it.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to watch that. And I'll save it for that episode. But
okay.
There is something in this movie actually that calls to Nosferatu.
See, I heard this was because we'll get into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely so it's a circle, right? So they couldn't get the rights to Dracula, they do Nosferatu. Now we have another Dracula and it borrows imagery from Nosferatu.
Yeah, it's interesting because and I'll talk about it more on the Nosferatu episode that we do, mm-hmm. but Bram Stoker's family won that lawsuit. So Nosferatu is supposed to be destroyed, basically.
That's crazy.
So the fact that it's still kind of out there is, in a way, illegal.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, because he didn't have the rights to it. But yeah, as the creature evolves in this movie, and I don't want to get into too much spoiler until we get there, but he does start to look like the Nosferatu.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen Todd Browning's one, the Universal Dracula in 1931?
I have no. The original, I have not seen.
Okay,
that
me
one,
neither.
No.
I need to.
I would like to watch that. Maybe we should watch that with Nosferatu. That'd be a good episode.
Yes, you got Bela Lugosi. You got the whole. I think that's got. I think that might be regarded as the best. I think
it's probably regarded as the best.
Yeah,
I mean. Like we said, the Francis Ford Coppola's might be my favorite.
Oh, that's right. Ooh, that is. It'd been cool to have been like, we were so young when we were like 2 or 3 when that came out. But to have seen the conjecture around that getting remade by the guy that did Godfather.
Yeah.
You know? And it kind of plays out like that.
Yeah.
It's a big movie.
It's a
long
big
movie.
Yeah.
Beautiful set pieces, a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
So that's, Dracula's fascinating. You knew mm-hmm. this conversation was going to go there.
Yeah.
The Last Voyage of the Demeter, we'll give you a spoiler-free review, and then we'll announce when spoilers are coming. It is directed by Andrei Alvedal. There's a kind of a Swedish O in that name, so I hope I'm pronouncing right. He gave us, by the way, Troll Hunter, The Autopsy of Jane Doe, and Tunnelin. And yes, GDT is a huge fan of this because... That guy also had something to do with Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And I know GDT loves that and had something to do with that. Maybe writing credit.
Yeah.
This movie stars Corey Hawkins as Clemens. I will be following that man's career.
I was about to say, he might be the best part of this.
He was beautiful on screen.
Yeah.
He was so good.
Yeah.
Lisa Francois, Liam Cunningham. There you go. David Dashmalchian, who can do no wrong now.
Finish the list, but I got to talk about those last two guys.
And there's just some others. Woody Norman is Toby, little kid. He played out. There's a lot. Yeah, go to IMDb and check them out.
So, Liam Cunningham.
Yes.
Game of Thrones fans are going to know him.
I heard.
So you haven't watched Game of Thrones, have you?
No, he's the guy, he's Captain Elliot, right?
Yeah, he plays Captain Elliot, okay. Yeah. I'm trying to recall, he plays a character named Davos. I think I'm saying that right. In Game of Thrones. He's one of those, I just recently watched Game of Thrones for the first time all the way through. And he's one of those characters at first I couldn't stand him. And as the show goes, I could not have been a bigger fan.
Really?
And I think a lot of that's his performance. He's fantastic in that show. So I was super happy to see him in here.
He was great in this.
Yeah,
he's probably the second best character.
Yeah, he's great in this. And then the next gentleman, how do you say his last name? David something?
Yes, David Dashmalchian.
This guy.
Dude, he's awesome.
Just started off as a background actor in his career. And then he just...
He's having a streak.
Big old fans will recognize him from... he's in The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
He's just in one scene in The Dark Knight, but he does a beautiful job in it. He's in the first Ant-Man. I think he's in the second one as well. And he's also in James Gunn's The Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just all over the place. I'll give you
another one too, Dune.
That's right. He's in Dune.
He's just on a
tear
right now. He's an Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's everywhere. William Borden. Yeah, he's everywhere. So we got a pretty good cast for this movie.
He plays the Calendar Man.
Not the Calendar Man.
It says Calendar Man, but then it says Calendar Man and Penguin in part two of Batman: The Long Halloween.
Oh, the animated movie. Yes. I was thinking in Suicide Squad, he plays. Plays.
The guy with all those dots on.
Yeah, Crazy Quilt.
What's he called?
I think he's called Crazy Quilt.
Yeah, and he's in Quantumania. He plays Veb.
He's just briefly in Quantumania.
This guy's awesome, though.
Yeah, he's good.
Bird Box. Anytime he shows up, he's bringing it. Apparently, he's in a couple episodes of Twin Peaks, Gotham. Man does it all.
Yeah.
But no, the cast is one of the things. So just to walk people through, basically, you have this crew, it's alien. It's mm-hmm. alien. There's something on board. One of my favorite parts is the aspects of going to watch this movie. I do love schooners. I have them tattooed on my body. Yeah. I love the imagery. They play to it here. The sets mm-hmm. were incredible. But think about it. So you open up in the Dock City. I love those towns. And they nail it. They nail the period.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know you're getting the snapshot into the life of Dracula, one mm-hmm. of the most famous characters in American history. Mm-hmm. Well, Bram Stoker, wherever he is. But in world history.
But in literature, for sure.
Right. So you're seeing it through a keyhole.
Yeah.
And so you put that, parcel that with On the High Seas,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm just in. And to give kind of, to walk people through it, they basically start, that you get the cool little town, they get it, and they're going to go to London.
Yeah.
On it. Little goings on start happening. People start dropping. Mm-hmm. And it's weird, but what's so cool to me is when you have something on a ship, a horror movie on a boat, the claustrophobia,
mm-hmm.
but yet complex and large enough, because schooners are, to hide.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really neat. And I wish my notes were in a better, they're kind of all over the place with this one.
Well, let me ask you, since we're just going to be all over the place, it's fine. Let me ask you this. So I have pros and cons about the movie.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know where this sits. I don't think it's a con necessarily. I think it could develop into one. But what did you think of? There is something unique, I think, about this movie as a Dracula vehicle. This is not from the perspective of Dracula. As far as most of the time when we get Dracula, even if he's not the primary character, he is a huge part of it. And we get the version of Dracula that's a man, you know, like, because there's man and beast in Dracula. And we oftentimes usually get a movie where we have a mix, but we see the man side. We don't get the man at all here. This is it's just a beast.
They really address it with an awesome line of dialogue that I'll go after.
Yeah. Okay.
It's one of the best things I've heard in a Dracula
movie. So, I was going to ask you, what did you think about the focus being not on Dracula, but on the crew, and Dracula just the thing that goes bump in the night?
Well, two parts on that. One, I like it because it is a keyhole. Mm-hmm. It is this little snapshot into it.
Yeah, this is one chapter from the book.
Yeah, it's the captain's log. Yeah. So I think that's neat. So there's this awesome line of dialogue, because basically, to answer your question, they're on the boat, and there's this woman they find who's very sickly, right?
Yeah.
Come to find out, she's being fed off of and kept alive. One of his harems, basically.
Yeah.
And played wonderfully, by the way. I want to make sure I get her. I believe it's Anna, played by Aisling Francioso. And sorry, probably Francois, to be honest with you. But she gives an awesome bit of dialogue, because they are very limited in their knowledge of what's going on. Mm-hmm. She has any of the information, and it even has a cap, right? But she goes, I love this from her. She says, "This is a monster that can look like a man."
Mm.
Okay, so basically the man is the illusion.
Oh, right. Oh, no, yeah, that's definitely the case.
I love this one, it didn't even try.
Right.
It didn't even try. And then I think the movie had to battle predetermination. Meaning we know everything about it already.
Right.
The Titanic effect, like you said. But so to answer that, because it was so visually appealing, the gorgeous set pieces, when they're on deck at night, lit by the moon, lightning, storms, those aren't cheap and those are really hard to pull off.
Yeah.
To me, they're fabulous. Lantern lighting as they're navigating.
Yeah.
I love how you put it, as the bump in the night, and the isolating and creepy mood, and the fact that the crew is the story.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that kind of carry it. That actually, it worked for me.
Yeah.
And then you have this Dracula that throughout the film, as you get to see him, the less is more, by the way, less is more.
But I mean, most of the time when you have a monster movie, less is more, unless there's something deeper to the monster. Like, there's a monstrous interior. If it's just all exterior, too much is a bad thing. And that might be where a little bit of disconnect here, because I think one of the coolest things about Dracula is that, I wish I had a better phrase, but like that seductive nature.
Comes, I agree.
With the man side of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I do like the idea of him just playing to the, to the beast side.
Because it was a chapter.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you like, and I'll just say this, people, as we get into it, let me say this so we can jump into spoilers. I actually want to ask, there's a very unique angle this takes, especially this bite.
Yeah.
But for me, I like that you said, here's our spoiler-free review. I thought it was a moody, perfect little end-of-summer horror film period piece that borrows from an IP, gives you a keyhole entry into this very, very evil character that not a single human on Earth hasn't heard of.
Right.
In a form you don't usually see.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It was mostly practical, and when it stayed practical, effect-wise, it was awesome. The dialogue, the script, I liked. I think you could, and I know it's so cliche, it could have been a little shorter.
Yeah.
And I thought it ended with a bang.
Yeah.
And I know that's controversial.
No, I was fine with the ending.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you. It was
brutal too. It held no punches.
Yeah, no, it was very brutal.
I like that.
I do like that. But okay, so here's where, and I guess maybe this does bleed into spoiler.
Let's do spoiler warning
because, like, I think my review kind of hinges on some of those spoilers.
That's what I wanted to do with these, because I got some feedback online.
People are listening?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
And they like the spoilers, because typically we'll talk about it, but it's not, shout out JT on this one.
Okay.
It's not listened to until after they see it anyways.
Yeah, I know. I know a few people who have just held off because they haven't seen the movie.
So then at that point, spoilers are probably a more enriching and valuable discussion.
Yeah, probably.
So spoiler alert now, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, go ahead.
So I think maybe, okay, it's weird because I like and dislike about this. Because on one hand, I agree with you that I do like the fact that we're getting kind of the crew's perspective. Mm-hmm. We have the creature in the darkness that we're hiding from. But what you said, one thing you said that I like and also dislike about this is that it's alien.
Oh, 100%. It doesn't reinvent the wheel.
Do what?
This movie doesn't reinvent the wheel.
Oh, no. And I think that's where, like, you know, I think if it had been a different IP, maybe I would have felt differently about it. But I think Dracula, I just kind of want to see Dracula. And I do like this, but it has a almost like a slasher feel. And that's not an insult because I like slasher movies.
Probably why I liked it so much, though.
Yeah, I do like slasher movies. I think pairing Dracula with slasher movie is kind of a weird thing. So there's a little bit of a disconnect for me. But I do like the acting, and I do think...
Oh, the performances were phenomenal.
The performances were great. And like you said, this movie looks really good. It looks great. I think a lot of that is because it's practical, like you said.
Yeah, you can't tell the budget on it.
You could not say that better. You cannot tell the budget. The budget's handled pretty well.
Yeah.
Now, I do think as the movie weighs on, I'm less intimidated by this bad guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm less intimidated by the creature. And that's one thing. And if maybe I had never seen a Dracula anything, I would have a different approach. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, and this is what happens when it's not fair. But it's just naturally what happens when you use a popular IP. Everyone's always going to compare it to the other versions of that IP. Mm-hmm. You know, you can come out with the best Superman movie in the world, and they're always going to compare it to 1978, or Henry Cavill or whatever. Like, that's what they're always going to do. This is what movie people do. So I tried really hard to not think of...
It's like, a double-edged sword of borrowing equity.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's why I have a little disconnect of like with...
Because this is a monster movie.
With Coppola's Dracula, I got more scared as it went because the tension that builds...
Oh, there were so many layers to that Dracula too, yeah, with the marriage and the love and the triangle.
Yes, and the... the evolution of Dracula and Keanu Reeves.
We got him. He's John Wick. He just kicks the door down and blows both their brains out.
Okay.
Well, Go ahead.
It's dark.
Family podcast.
So I don't know. I mean, so yeah, maybe because, like you said, they don't reinvent the wheel. It does feel like a slasher / alien / hey, we're using the Dracula name.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I think I agree with you from a standpoint. I mean, I understand your perspective. And yeah. I think it's shared. Yeah. I think people are pretty split on this one.
Yeah.
You do have an incredible score, gorgeous cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a creaky, eerie ship, you know what I mean? Lit by the moon. So it's got a lot going for it.
Yeah.
I was able to really put my head in the fact that, and because it got so brutal, it sold it for me that this is the true monster. But if I wanted the other one, I would also be disappointed.
Yeah.
Because since we're spoiling, I mean, people, there's an awesome boats without rats thing, by the way, when that crew member gets on, he has a boats without rats, and all of a sudden these animals have been drained of their blood.
Ugh.
People start missing. But people, when I say it doesn't hold punches.
It doesn't hold
There, maybe you could say trigger warning.
Yeah.
But kids aren't safe.
Oh, no.
Dogs aren't safe.
No one's safe in this.
Like, as it would be if you were trapped on a boat with Dracula.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I do appreciate that they're not skimming around those things.
At all.
No.
Head
not.
On.
They're not. And that's the only way to do Dracula. 100%. That's the only way to do true, like, vampire horror.
Because we've seen his beauty. This is the evil underneath.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a little snapshot of it. But I also, I loved, this was really unique to me. And it may be right out of the book. I haven't read it.
Mm-hmm.
But in this film, if you're bit by Dracula, you're possessed. You become one of his, just, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like a changeling type thing.
Yeah.
Like you, your eyes go white and you do his bidding.
Yeah.
And we get a really scary scene where one of the guys is going after the kids with wide eyes.
Oof.
And he's running. And I think that that possession angle. And the only thing is, the catch is, guess what? Watch out for sunshine in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But that, and when the crew's in, it's daylight and just waiting on night, and you know they're not all going to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, it was haunting. But did you like the possession?
I did. Yeah. I don't know if that's in the book. I haven't read the book either. Though. Yeah. It's very.
And our protagonist does a blood transfusion to prolong Anna's life.
Right.
Now, his story is cool.
Yeah.
Cambridge doctor, because of the color of his skin, never got that. So here he is on a boat.
Yeah. The trade up for focusing on the crew is that we do get enough about these characters that you're rooting for them, even though you know how doomed all this is.
Yeah.
The possession, back to your question though, the possession angle was super creepy. I that definitely had a Shining kind of esque to it.
Oh, that's
chasing the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Anything with kids, like even if you're not a parent or whatever, there's a sensitivity. I think because kids usually in these movies represent like weakness and innocence.
Exactly right.
And
typically off limits.
Typically so.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think in recent years, horror's always trying to push the envelope, whether it works or doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're getting closer to territories where those aren't. I think the rules are changing.
They are 100%.
I agree. Because I mean, one of the most prestigious horror movies we've had in the last some years is Hereditary, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't shy around child death.
And it's a tough dance, because if you do it just to do it, we hate you,
right?
Especially with dogs,
right?
If you do it just to, you gotta sell it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna go there,
it has to be integral to the script.
Yes,
because you will lose people in movies and TV shows, books, if you kill off a character for the shock value of it.
Yes,
and that's just a character.
But you can see it.
And then when it comes to like kids or the innocent or the weak or like you said, dogs or the elderly,
that's a good one.
If it's not done with tact and if it's not essential to the plot, you're going to get heat. Yeah, you're going to get heat.
You remember this awesome line too, though, is like, because this was a hopeless story, right?
Hopeless.
It just felt so hopeless. Yeah. And, but when, in a bit of dialogue, when he was talking, it was one of the last, because it all leads up. So Dracula takes these people out when night comes, one by one, right?
Yeah.
He feeds and he becomes bigger and stronger and takes on his true Nosferatuan form.
Yeah.
Right. Wings. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Total creature. I mean, just a demon, a bat out of hell, literally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're also faced too with, like, you think back a couple hundred years ago and when this is taking place in the 1800s, and like they're sharing a world where this thing exists.
Yeah.
And it might come to the mainland. It might go to the UK.
Yeah.
But one of the coolest things is his physical form changes. He evolves. Mm-hmm. I like that angle.
I do too.
He becomes more nourished, and you see it. You see it practically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I also I love the knock they would do.
Mm-hmm.
They would do that to know, like, there's a knock, then the next person, kind of like lighting the lanterns in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
To know
everybody's
okay. They come back to that in a beautiful way. But we're led to this final, basically, boss fight with our two, main people. And we already said spoilers, people.
Mm-hmm.
But where it's Clemens and Anna are fighting, they're facing off. And it goes horribly awry.
Yeah.
He's a formidable foe, too much so. And they get lucky, but at this one part, but one of the bit of dialogues when they're having that fight up there on the boat, it's raining, it's storming, everything's going wrong. And also, by the way, I like when he kills a guy way up on the
net
and the body's just hanging there. He's told that, Dracula's told, even you bleed, you sleep in dirt. You're not a god. You feed, and you basically, you're just an animal.
Yeah.
And that was cool. But what ends up happening is crazy. So there's an awesome fight, right? And again, we've already spoiled, because I want to get to the ending so we can talk about it. Are you cool with that, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah, tell the people the ending, because I have a thing I want to talk about.
Yeah, ending is one of my favorite parts. Because it's just rich for interpretation and opinions. But they get in that fight, the three I mentioned. And thankfully, Dracula's whooping up on everybody as he would. He's overpowered. Gets pinned by a mass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole point was, you see that before when a certain character dies, is they do a hole, they're going to sink him to the bottom of the ocean, right? Because they can't kill him. They just can't.
No.
They don't have the information. They can't figure it out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in the fight, in the way, I guess, you know, the I'm sure the ship's wheel went all the, they're actually going straight for the coast of London. But Clemens escapes a la the Titanic.
Yeah.
With Anna. And as they're drifting, you can tell they're, it's a real powerful story because Anna gives a lot about how she was, he was so sorry because she's sick.
Mm-hmm.
The white of her eyes began, his transfusions kept it away, but the virus from Dracula is going to overtake her.
Mm-hmm.
And but she's basically saying, don't fret because like my whole village was terrorized by him, whatever. I'm not afraid. I'm going out not afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. she has some sort of personal victory, mm-hmm. even if it is the end of this life.
Yeah.
And then she gets basically a Viking funeral, a pyre.
Yeah.
You know, she's lit on, she drifts away and the sun lights her skin on fire.
Yeah.
Been there. Destin. So then let's go ahead and fast forward to the ending, right? Mm-hmm. Because you get this clip of, and anytime they zoom out and they show the macro of the boat and the sea and the moonlit waves and the tide, like it's so beautiful. Yeah. Like I could just watch that as like ASMR.
Yeah.
And listen to it, I guess. Yeah. But the boat wrecks on the shores in London.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing Dracula no more.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this amazing scene in an old English pub at the end of this film. And Clemens is having himself a cold one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he turns over his left shoulder and he looks back there at a bar back or at like a little table. And there's mm-hmm. a cloaked individual that looks white as snow with sunken eyes.
Yeah.
And then you feel the hair on his neck rise and it makes that sound. And all of a sudden he turns around and he's gone. And you're given this image of Dracula walking by his neck with his hand over it. So then he, Clemens, walks out into the streets to pursue and he's gone.
Yeah.
So one, I want your thoughts too. Is Clemens Van Helsing?
Ooh, I didn't think about him being Van Helsing.
My mind went there so fast. Yeah, because think about it, he's a great antithesis to Dracula. He's a doctor.
Yeah,
we never see that. We see the archer, the talented fighter, the hunter.
I think
here's someone that can manipulate blood.
Yeah, that's interesting. He's a Van Helsing type, maybe.
Yeah.
Not actually the character, but
no, he's not Hugh Jackman. Or whoever he played it, yeah,
yeah, it was Hugh Jackman.
I love that song. That's a good one.
I need to rewatch that.
I liked it when I watched it.
Yeah, I liked it as a kid. Yeah. What I love about the ending.
I love that ending. I love an ambiguous ending.
Well, I love an ambiguous ending, but I also kind of love a not a quote unquote good ending for a horror movie.
Yes,
you get such a mix of those in movies. I remember as a kid, do you ever read the Goosebump books?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Raised by them.
Do you remember?
Scholastic Book Fair, baby.
Do you remember any of the plots of any of them?
Haunted Mask.
Yes, Haunted Mask.
That's
a great one.
If I saw them in front of me, mm-hmm. I would, but not off the top of my head.
I can think of the... I read so many of them.
Oh, yeah.
But I can only remember the ending to three or four of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I know one thing that's consistent about every single ending is they're not good endings.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? There's this like false good ending, and then there's that last page that leaves you. To give it an example, what I'm talking about is there's one in Goosebump book called Beast from the East, and it's not one of the most popular ones.
Yao Ming.
But these two kids are, I don't know how they get in the situation, but they're in the woods and there are these awful monsters. Think like an evil version of like Where the Wild Things Are.
Ooh.
You know, like creepy things. And they're forced to play this game where you have to, if one of the beasts gets the jump on them, they lose, but they have to, the only way they can win anybody, the only way anybody can win is if you attack literally from the east. So if you attack from any other direction, it doesn't count. So it literally has to be from the east, and they have to protect themselves from the east through the in the woods, in the middle of the woods, and there's no way.
Tough.
Yeah. So they win. It's like, I think it's like a brother and sister, I want to say. Yeah. So they win. They're like level one or whatever, mm-hmm. and they win. And they're like, thank God, we're getting out of here. And on their way out, they get attacked by another beast. And they said, sorry, we just won. We're level two now. You can't. And then the last bit is the beast smiles and says, I'm level two also. And like, that's how the book ends.
Yeah.
So you have no, and every book, every R.L. Stein, like Goosebump book kind of ended that way, like ambiguously, leading you to think that it doesn't work out.
Again, but, it lets your imagination fill in, right. which is superior.
And I think so many horror movies and books, and I'm not saying each one needs to end that way.
But it is a fun ending. It's memorable.
A fun ending because, yeah, more often than not, for the horror fans, they're there for that. For whatever reason, we enjoy
catharsis.
We enjoy that dark ending.
100%.
For some reason, we just do.
Hey, The Mist.
The
Frank Darabont, the film. God,
The Mist.
Are you ever going to forget it?
No.
Exactly.
No.
How many other endings have you
forgotten? That movie is... that ending, I mean, is...
And that was a diversion from the book, but like...
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're never going to forget it.
No.
It makes me so happy. I watch that ending every morning with my coffee. Just to get in the mood.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, I also watch it during.
Okay.
I'm with you. First of all, shout out Goosebumps.
That's
probably why so many of us are horror fans.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
100%.
And I'm 100%. With you. I love that dark ending, but ambiguous.
Yeah.
You know, and I guarantee you could talk to 10 different people and get 10 different perspectives.
Yeah.
But this movie gave us an R.L. Steinian ending, didn't
yeah.
it? It
yeah.
really did.
I think I like that ending better than I like the movie. I'll yeah. say that. Like, I thought the movie was fine.
It drug in certain parts. Yeah. I don't want to be fair. I liked it, but it did drag in certain...
It's to me, it's a... If you have the time, it's a matinee kind of thing.
Okay.
That's my thing.
Yeah, and I'm a horror movie at night guy, but
I'm just thinking about the people.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
You got to think about the people.
Got to think about the people.
So that is the last voyage of the Demeter,
or Dracula on a boat.
Or Dracula.
I almost said Drake on a boat, and that would be worse to me.
Drake or Dracula? Who's the better lyricist?
Dracula. I think Dracula is better across the board,
including than Taylor Swift.
I was just talking about Drake.
Well, those two are intertwined.
How so?
They're not.
Okay.
So we have the last voyage of the Demeter. Go watch it, folks. You have a Dracula very much monster movie on the high seas. I recommend it. He recommends it for the matinee.
Yeah.
Get you a sea shanty on, watch The Mist, and go watch this bad boy. Now, we'll leave her there. This next movie. Are you familiar with what's called the Blacklist?
I am. How? And the Bloodlist.
What's the Bloodlist?
The Bloodlist is the Blacklist for horror movies.
Okay. How would you describe, I'm glad you said that, the Blacklist to someone so that doesn't know? Give them everything that's Hollywood and script. Give them all of that.
From what I understand, the Blacklist is... a short list of, and I say short in quotations because there's, you know, it's long, but there's a lot of scripts out there, is the most promising screenplays that have not been purchased or brought into any kind of production. An example would be if an individual has written a script and has gotten it out there, it's very popular. It's probably passed through some hands, but it has not either been purchased or brought to production, but is still promising. And that's where we find this next movie. And the Bloodlist is a specific list for horror films.
Yep. And we find this on both of them.
Yeah.
This being Cobweb. Mm-hmm. Horror movie came out July 21st.
Yeah. There's no reason why this movie should have come out in the summer at all. This movie should have come out the first weekend in October. That's when this should have come out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
This movie takes place
on Halloween.
Yeah, it takes place a week before Halloween.
Come on.
So it really should have come out in October.
So not only did it come out in the summer, Cobweb came out the same day of Barbie and Oppenheimer. You ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Barbenheimer.
Got buried.
This poor movie. Yeah.
Now it's on VOD.
Yes, already.
I didn't even know this movie existed until you told me about it.
I only know because I'm intertwined with horror film Twitter.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Yeah.
Well, so am I, but I still didn't even know about
it. None of our theaters got it.
Yeah.
None of them.
No,
so the one I run, the five other ones, not a single one of us got it.
I'm not surprised.
It had a limited release, and then it just got, then every screen went to Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Yeah. 100%.
So Cobweb, if I can enlighten the people, another little horror spooky
season,
people. Little cozy film to get ready for Halloween, mm-hmm. people. Whether you're in Haddonfield or, remember what I called Screamstown and I said the Westboro? Haddonfield or Westboro. Hey,
that's the scariest one of them all, buddy.
Ooh, screenplay idea.
Yeah, ooh, yeah. I think we talked about this last time.
Probably. Okay, so I'll continue. But we have Cobweb, sick poster, by the way. Check her out on IMDb. But horror strikes when an 8-year-old boy named Peter tries to investigate the mysterious knocking noises that are coming from inside the walls of his house and a dark secret that his sinister parents kept hidden from him. So to give a little bit more than that, folks, horror strikes when I decided. Listen, so you have this. Okay, we'll start spoiler free. Then we'll announce and we'll get into spoilers. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you have this nice little directed by Samuel Bowden, written by Chris Thomas Devlin. You got starring Lizzie Kaplan, your boy Tony Starr, Anthony Starr, mm-hmm. Homelander.
Ever I was just going to ask, you haven't watched The Boys.
No, I have seen that. I've seen a bajillion gifs of this gentleman.
Yes. So this guy plays Homelander in The Boys. I'm not going to get into all that because this is a movie podcast, not a TV podcast. But let me tell you, whatever you feel about The Boys, this actor can walk. I mean, dude, as Homelander, he can walk it every time. I've said this ever since I watched the first season.
I need to watch it. You do recommend it. You think I would like it?
Anybody who's listening, who even knows a fraction of who you are by this podcast alone, would know that this show is made for you.
Okay.
It is.
That's not a good enough sell.
It is made for you.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
You will love every second of it. Yeah. Homelander, I mean, for the people, he's an evil Superman, okay?
Oh, that's sick.
Anytime he's on screen, I'm terrified for everyone else on screen with him.
That's crazy.
I love this actor. The Boys is the only thing I've seen him up until this. I was very happy to see him.
Oh, he's
I cannot wait.
He's amazing.
I'm following his career from now on. Yeah,
he delivered.
I cannot wait for him to break out into bigger movies.
Well, he was in Without a Paddle.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm. He played Billy Newwood.
You know what? A lot of people have been fan casting him as MCU Wolverine.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, he could do whatever.
Yeah,
whatever they give him, he'll do it.
He'll do it well.
But anyway, go on. Oh, somebody else you mentioned in the cast. Give me.
Cleopatra.
No.
Cleopatra Coleman.
No, the one you mentioned before.
Hey, Woody Norman, the kid, the same.
Okay.
Kid. Did you know that as the last kid. Voyage?
Oh my gosh! Is it really
the same kid?
Oh, so it's a Woody Norman episode.
This is the Woody. We watch more Woody Norman than you.
We watch more Woody than you.
We do. That's true. You know it's true.
So much. Lizzie Kaplan. Okay.
Carol.
Okay. Not only is she
Rizzy Lizzie,
wildly good in this.
Easy.
Let me tell you. No. She's crazy. She acts crazy. She's great. She played in a show called Castle Rock.
Oh.
Which we've talked about before.
Misery.
What?
She plays Lizzie Borden, doesn't she? Or she plays...
No.
And
she plays Annie Wilkes in Castle Rock. Let me tell you, that show is mixed. I've got a lot of mixed feelings on it. For people who don't know it, they only got two seasons, an anthology series. It was sort of connected, but not really to each other. But it's basically, if you take all of Stephen King's IP and just shove it all into one thing, it's like, it's basically if his horror universe was just like one, like it's a universe. Like
paper, that's such a good idea. You should just gave it to Mike Flanagan, though.
Yeah. The first season was really interesting, and I liked it a lot. Second season, she's in second season. She's the best part about it.
Cool.
She is phenomenal.
Not surprised.
She's phenomenal. So, perfect pick here.
Dude, this casting was amazing.
Yeah.
You wanted me to mention casting. This is
right. So, yes, that's what I'm going to say. I have issues with the movie, but but the casting is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic.
She chewed in all the right ways.
Yeah, 100%. They all did. I mean, Anthony started too, but, you know.
Oh, he was so unsettling when he held that hammer in his hand.
Dude, that's what I'm telling you.
We'll get into it. So the non-spoiler version is, to me, Bobby, you can tell me, I have notes. Whoops. Yeah.
That's okay. We're not that serious. We're just a couple of dudes in a room, and you're wearing pajamas.
Yep, I'm wearing Halloween pajamas.
Yes, I call them your scary pants.
You like them?
I do.
Thank you. They're coming off. So, we have producers from It 2017.
Yeah,
you got producers
from Seth Rogen. Just so random.
And Barbarian.
Yeah.
By the way, which you do get. So to give people the premise, basically, you get this, you dropped in on this little boy, truly dropped in, almost like it gave me Trick or Treat vibes, how singular the story was, and you're thrown into the middle of it.
I love being thrown into the middle of the story, and you're just supposed to understand it.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's fun. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like, give the viewer some credit.
That's really great writing if you can do that and not lose your audience. Because I've talked about it 100 times on the pod. I've talked about it 1,000 times off the pod. I hate
exposition. Our audience.
I do. I also hate exposition. I just hate, like, just... I think that's my disconnect with Inception.
Stop.
Listen, no. What's his head? Who I'm not a big fan of either, so that just doubled down. What's
DiCaprio.
His name? No.
Nolan.
The silly one.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's it. See, you knew who I was talking about. All he does in that movie is just explain the plot. We'll get into it in that episode.
We'll cover. Yeah, that is one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
Inception. Oh,
it's good, except for that part.
Oh.
My
pants just got shorter. A lot shorter.
It's so strange.
So Cobweb.
Yeah.
Spoiler-free review.
Yeah. And
then we're getting into spoilers, but we'll announce it.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but I'm with you. So here's what I think. Here's how I view this movie. Notes be darned, right? And I got some when we start really getting to it. We already covered Blacklist script, Bloodlist. That's pretty cool because, boy, you got yourself a unique story here. But I look at this movie like a fairy tale. We're dropped in the
middle.
It is
a fairy tale.
Right?
It's kind of, I think it's loosely based on a Grimm Brothers fairy tale. Well, I can't remember the title, but yeah.
Complete sense. I did not know that, honestly.
Yeah.
And you're dropped in on the week before Halloween, very autumnal.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, in an isolated house with weird, I cannot stress you how weird his freaking parents are. Controlling, dark, moody, their fate, you don't trust them.
Yeah, you don't trust
them. As a kid where you don't trust your own parents is so scary. They're the one, they're the two people he should trust in the entire world.
Yeah.
And from the jump, whether it's unreliable narrator or not, you don't trust his parents. Yeah. And the actors sell
it. They
do,
they sell it.
And then you're dropped in on Halloween, and this poor little kid, he's bullied, then he goes home, and that sucks too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Very, very depressing. And then he starts hearing noises. He starts a little knocks in his wall. So we think little Billy's losing his mind. His name's not Billy. His name is Peter. He looks like a little Billy.
Okay, that's a weird thing to
say.
I'll
actually write in that they should change it.
Yeah.
So,
you think he looks like a little Billy and not a little Peter?
Absolutely. Yes, I won't touch that one.
You won't touch the little Peter.
Not on the pod. And then
it's terrible.
big, beautiful house. Old dude, from the outside, it almost looks not lived in, which is neat, and has a pumpkin patch out back.
You think that's like, you think that's a visual, like, stylistic choice?
Yes.
Like, to make it look like there's something unsettling?
I think so. Yeah. Dude, I think so. I think this movie borrows from a lot of... I do
it
think this
does
movie,
borrow a lot.
It's an amalgamation of a lot of horror movies.
That's what... I'm so on the fence about this movie.
A lot of people are. I'll go ahead and so basically, though, you get this dark fairy tale with this little kid, right? On right. Halloween, creepy house, starts hearing noises, then starts hearing voices, a girl's voice. Mm-hmm. Then stuff starts happening with his parents. He's being convinced that they're evil. Really tough situation at work. New mm-hmm. substitute teacher cares a lot. Has a couple really questionable visits to the crib.
I'm not saying it's weird that a teacher gets involved. I am saying it's weird when a substitute teacher gets involved.
She cares, Bobby.
She cares to the point I feel like she ain't got nothing going on in her own life. You know what I mean?
She very well may not.
I don't think she does.
Yeah, she...
I think she's probably one of those people who just all her business is other people's business.
Yeah, I love that. That is fun. So then... You got, I'll say it again, you got weird goings-ons, right? She comes there, dad's holding a hammer, and he's got a big gash in his arm, and he says, oh, that's a nail or something. Oh, okay. Mom's being a total freak.
Yeah.
But beautifully so, meaning, like, it was played so well. No joke, though. Cobwebs, you have that situation, and the stuff starts to spiral out, because he starts to talk to this voice in the wall more and mm-hmm. more and more. He has, and this voice in the wall causes mm-hmm. him to do some heinous things at school.
Mm-hmm.
It causes him to do some heinous things at home, and it starts unraveling. And then you get given this mystery and the pumpkin patch and this crazy, like, folk tale in this world that mm-hmm. there was somebody trick or treating Halloween night 3 years ago, and that little girl disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peter, and this is in the trailer, is being convinced that his parents did it.
Mm-hmm.
So you, and how isolated he is, a la The Overlook,
mm-hmm.
or Annie Wilkes, or, you know, however you want to look at it, with a Freddy Krueger looking hallway, with some incredible shots. There's a bathtub shot right out of The Shining. There's actually a mm-hmm. shot out of The Shining, the tracking shot, as they're big, with beautiful,
yeah, you're right,
spooky, spooky mood setting, scores haunting. And again, when you're set on Halloween, and you got a little fairy tale vibe. You got a pumpkin patch out back and a weirdo little kid.
Yeah.
I'm probably in. But then you have the title. The title's Cobweb.
Yeah.
So what could that mean? I think you have a Hitchcockian thing at play here, not in the
film. I mean, yeah.
You have two movies. You have two movies.
Yeah.
Okay, now give me your – so I'll say this, and it's autumnal vibes – and just to finish my spoiler-free review, it does mm-hmm. go off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even trust your parents, which is so scary as a kid. I was able to really put myself there. It is a collection of really cool scenes. They're not always adhesive.
Right.
But I still enjoyed it a lot.
That's the thing. I love the premise so much.
That's why it's on the blacklist.
Exactly. I love this premise so much. You're right. It does feel at times like it's two different movies. And I think it's because, and this is, we're getting into spoiler territory here.
Okay, so entering spoilers now.
Yeah, I got to.
Okay,
because it's the only way.
Entering spoilers now into Cobweb, which would have been, is canonical with Spider-Man. And you know who wanted it? Sam Rahama. Dude, he would have murdered this.
He would have, yeah.
And so did, just a real quick, because I don't want to disrespect him. They listen, Samuel Bowden. Continue. Cobweb spoilers.
Cobweb spoilers. I do feel like we have two movies going on here a little bit, because I think they're doing the classic trope of, we want you to feel like the parents are unreliable, or that they're evil, or that they're the bad guys behind this and the kid has to whatever. I felt like the ending is so strange. We'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. I love the concept of there's something in the walls. I love that.
Yes.
That is my favorite part about this.
That's awesome.
And I'm not even deterred by by what we find. It's one of those, maybe when you see too much, but this is a creepy thing that we see.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I do,
there, does this movie give you Coraline vibes?
It does give me Coraline vibes. It also weirdly, and you know, of course, who else is going to go here but me? It kind of reminds me of Batman Returns.
Oh, dear Lord. This movie reminds you of Batman Returns.
Well, you know, the concept was, I'm your sister that they're ashamed of because I'm this monster.
I see where you're going.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Penguin.
And I like that angle.
Yeah.
But so...
You want to give people what... Okay, who ends up being in the walls?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so what he's talking about... So basically, when we're doing the spoiler-free, we walked you guys through it. So basically... Mm-hmm. This person in the walls, this girl's voice convinced him. He pushes the bully down mm-hmm. the stairs and mm-hmm. he breaks a limb. Mm-hmm. Could have killed him. Mm-hmm. And he also finds the skull of a child in the pumpkin patch.
Yep.
And this crazy tense scene as he heard from that. He's going out there. He's digging. And his mom's looking for him. Realizes he's not in his room and comes down to the window right as he covers it back with mud. Mm-hmm. Awesome scene. Mm-hmm. That was very insane.
Very cool. One of my favorite parts of this movie.
Me too.
Yeah. Because
his parents are so scary. They're so scary.
They're so scary.
The dad does not let the hammer leave his white knuckles when the substitute teacher is over. And then he comes back to her car and he's about to bash her skull in, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
But then the voice has little Timmy, aka Peter,
mm-hmm.
do something really, really, really awful.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're all having dinner, and it looks like this grotesque porridge.
Oh, my gosh,
dude. And we're given a scene.
I start to disconnect here.
That's common for a lot of people. I suspend my belief to a point. I've told you that of hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
I convulse. My eyes are white, looking at the back of my skull, and I enjoy it. Because I enjoyed Malignant. And this is a sister watched Malignant. This is a lot.
Yeah.
If you like Malignant, you will like this movie. I would almost.
That's true.
James Wan does it better than this film.
Yeah.
But I still like this movie. But
I get a little. Yeah. I mean, I know where you're going with it, that people, me included, may have thought we didn't suspend enough belief to get to the point that we feel like he could become a murderer.
But I also agree with you that, like, there aren't defined rules in this movie.
Right.
Because of the two. Like, yeah, so he does. We're shown a scene earlier when he's with his dad and they're doing rat trap and it smells like cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mom goes, dad goes, this tastes different. Mom goes, it smells like cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts vomiting the father, Homelander.
Yeah.
Black blood profusely. Yes. Tar.
Oh, God. It's awful.
And then the mom looks and they realize little Peter hasn't touched his porridge.
Yeah.
And that's a fairy tale scene right there.
100%.
That's Hansel. I mean, I don't even know what it is, but it's a fairy 100%, tale scene.
You're right.
Yeah. And that's why I accepted the movie, because I took fairy tale rules.
Okay. Okay. So you defended that this is not based in realism.
I did. I really did. Yeah.
Okay. So here's a complaint that I heard that I don't necessarily subscribe to, and I'll tell you why. I know that people were upset about. Okay. So people. When we meet this person who's living in the walls, it is straight up a monster.
Yeah,
I mean, long hair that reminds you of like The Ring.
Yes, yeah, Samara.
Samara. You have. She kind of has this uncanny ability. That's why it reminds me of the Penguin. Is like this person was a monster born of humans, and we have no explanation for that.
None.
And a lot of people have a problem with that. I don't because I'm a Stephen King fan. And Stephen King never wants to tell you what's up.
Yeah.
Like he very rarely tells you why. Yeah. And that's kind of the opposite of giving you too much exposition. Sometimes they don't give you enough. And
that is a fair critique.
I don't have it's a fair critique.
I don't
that
have
doesn't
either.
That doesn't hang me up here
mm-hmm.
because like you said, if it's a fairy tale or a fantasy novel or mm-hmm. whatever, which just like with our last movie, I think both of these are considered dark fantasy, like horror fantasy. Mm-hmm. You don't get those explanations. You're just supposed to accept this is it. This is the thing. And this is why it's this way. This is why The Shining's this way. This is why is why Pennywise is a thing. Like there's not a whole, there's some, but not a lot of explanation.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with that here.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of disconnect with him killing his parents seemingly so willingly, but I see what you're saying.
It helped me after he kicked the bully down the stairs that he would do it.
Yeah, there's an escalate. Yeah,
and I also think he's manipulated because we are given. Here's the craziest part.
Yeah,
though. to lead to what you're saying, to lead to her, the entity behind the walls, is he kills both his parents. But then his mom, as she's trying, she's fighting more than the dad. She probably ate slower.
Yeah.
If he's like me, he inhaled it.
Yeah.
And she comes at him with it. She comes at her own son with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And to give people before this, he was also put, another thing that really made the parents look bad is when they got mad at him because he called his teacher for help and some of the stuff he's doing at school, they put him in a basement hidden behind a refrigerator with chains down there.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that
one was a little tougher.
Yeah. Okay. So,
it's explained later though.
Yeah. I was about to say, maybe explain to the people like, how things go in the third act, because I think this is another like
kind of a weird so this movie transitions completely. He kills his parents, his mom comes at him, and you get this really interesting line. She swings at him with a knife, he's able to kick her off, she falls down the stairs, she snaps her neck and stabs herself.
Yeah.
Double whammy.
That's triple if you count the porridge.
Been there if you count the what. Yeah, that's right. And
also, who's eating porridge?
I don't know,
like, that's such
she
a
called it soup, but it looked like it looked like cream of wheat.
Yeah.
For dinner,
that's what
too,
they call me in college.
Way. What? Yeah.
That's what they call me in college.
Yeah, they still do. I do. But she, her dying words to the her young little boy that just killed her were,
don't let her out.
Don't let her out.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the movie, like a couple of the shots to go clockwise or reverse clockwise to set the scene.
Yep.
Those are sick shots. Yep. Those are fun. I don't even know what they're doing.
I don't either.
Anti-dolly zoom.
Yeah, that looked cool, though.
It was awesome. Yeah. They use it like twice. Mm-hmm. And that narratively does that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third act, here we are, right?
Yeah.
And in the movie, completely different movie. I'm okay when they do that. Like I said, it harkens back to Psycho.
Yeah.
That's true. Not putting these, you know.
Yeah.
But because I'm okay with ambiguity. But what you first had was this melodrama, this very much what people would call elevated horror movie. You're like, okay, I get where this is going. Kid's isolated. He acts out, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no. You have a fudging creature feature.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That,
yeah.
Because come to find out, from the wall comes out this creature. Mm-hmm. He does let her out. He's completely manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
And she is this larger than life, like Spider Woman.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
right?
It's
Samara.
It's truly creepy.
Because you think about it, she hadn't cut her hair in 30 years.
It's truly creepy. Or I don't know how she, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how she stayed.
She explains a little kind of like Bane. She does say, like, where you got the bed and you whined.
Yeah.
I was in the cobwebs. Yeah. I was learning how to crawl.
I don't know why, but I do love when we have a really simple title based off dialogue.
Yeah. You know? That's got that it's fairy tale vibe
to
it.
Yeah. I do love
Rapunzel,
that. I probably to an annoying degree, any time that happens in a movie, I point it out.
Yeah. Title sequence.
Yeah.
I always yell at butt neck and start
screaming. No, I just do the Peter Griffin thing and just go, oh, he said it.
But that was good. It's kind of Bane-ish. But so then we're introduced with this. And lo and behold, though, you get these masked vigilantes from the family of the bully that he kicked down the stairs and broke his arm.
I truly feel like they were there just so we could see what the spider was capable of. Which is a horror thing. Like, that's a horror movie thing. Bring in a bunch of no names so we can see the potential behind the villain, so you're that much more scared for your protagonist.
And this is a tight hour 28. That's why I give it a lot of grace.
I am glad that it's a good length for this movie.
It did not need to be longer.
No.
Dude, what about his nightmare sequence, though?
Yeah.
When he sees his mom standing with wide eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's creepy.
After his dad was standing in the corner.
Very Coraline.
Yes.
Very Coraline,
yes, the button eyes, the other mom.
Yeah.
And she runs at him and then goes black. Yeah. Kind of like It Follows, kind of like you could say, and then bang.
I was going to ask you about that. Do you remember dreams or nightmares? Ever? Have you ever had a recurring one?
No,
I used to have a recurring nightmare. I haven't had it in years, and I still think about it.
Are you serious?
A kid. I had it a few times as a kid.
Are you willing to share?
Yeah. You just unplugged something.
Continue. I almost did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're
good. Okay, yeah. So I used to have this dream as a kid where I'm in this very Victorian type, like, country house. Ooh, okay, which I did not know those words as a kid. I based this off a house that I was in one time, I think. And in this house, in this dream, I'm in this house and I'm just wandering through hallways, very lost. I know that there is a creature woman in the house. Ugh. And she's very, almost kind of the opposite of our Spider Woman here. She's very.
I love that we're both just calling her Spider Woman. Yeah.
She's very, like, large.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean that. I don't mean that in even like a fat way.
I gotcha.
She's just big. And
like our listeners.
I don't see her. I hear her. And the whole time I've got this anxiety of, and I didn't even know this terminology. I'm like 6 or 7 when I'm having this dream. But in hindsight, what I realize I'm doing, I'm trying to decide between flight or fight.
Mm-hmm.
And this nightmare scene kind of reminds me of it because the dream always ends with, I'm trying to get out of the house. I open the wrong door and I'm in this huge room and there she is. She's on the other side. I'm getting chills thinking about it.
Yeah.
Retelling the story. She's on the opposite end and she sees me and her mouth drops it's like a jaw unhinged. And her mouth.
The Taking of Deborah Logan.
Drops open and she just starts laughing uncontrollably. And I scream. Like, not in a fearful, I'm terrified, but in like a
Wes Craven way,
angry kind of way almost. Yeah. And I run towards her.
Ooh, okay.
And the dream always ends right before I get to her.
Ugh.
Yeah. And that's what this movie, that scene reminded me of that dream.
Shout out Sterling, but you always got out crazy.
Yeah. In hindsight, I realized that was the fight or flight. So now, if it's a video game or if it's a movie, I cannot stand when the protagonist has his back towards the threat. I can't do it. Yeah. So any horror game I've ever played, even if I'm having to run backwards, I have to see it.
Dude, that is so interesting.
Yeah. I have to at least see the threat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love that your mind went there when watching.
I probably this. Need therapy.
No, it's fine. You know what? We just watch horror movies.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. Yes, we're obviously proponents of that. That is fast. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah. That scene really reminds very similar.
Dude, that is crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you saying that, mood sounds similar
to
this
movie. Did you
ever
read? So the beginning of this movie reminded me of a short story called The Yellow Wallpaper. Have you ever read it? So I'm about to spoil the crap out of it. It's a great story.
It's called The Old Wallpaper?
It's called The Yellow Wallpaper.
No.
I'll give
word my color my son knows.
Very, 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 very short version of it. But this husband and wife are having a baby, and they move to the country into this house, and she sort of becomes obsessed with this one room and has yellow wallpaper in it. She's slowly going crazy throughout the story.
Yeah.
And she is positive that she is seeing along the pattern of the wallpaper, she is positive that she is seeing
Pete Davidson.
She thinks she's seeing this like kind of hunchback crazy old woman along the wallpaper, like design or something.
I don't know.
And so I'm not gonna. It's a beautiful beautiful haunting story. You need to go read it.
Yeah,
but. The ending basically the doctors tell her that she's experiencing some sort of hysteria. This is way before, like, this is kind of, I'm not sure when it was written, but it definitely takes place before like therapy is something that's taken seriously.
Right. Okay.
So essentially she does not want to leave this room. Like she's like kind of obsessed. And one day, the ending, another ambiguously horror ending, she's talking about how, because she's tearing at the wallpaper to try to let this woman out. And it ends with her creeping around the paper, around the room, because she has become the monster that she saw. And I truly thought this is where this movie was going.
Did that, to me, when you said that, that sounds like a great mental picture for anxiety.
Oh, it is.
You become the monster you fear.
It's exactly.
You make it happen.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah.
That's so 100%. Good.
Yeah. Go read the Yellow Wallpaper.
Yeah. It's great. Fantastic. I mean, that. I love that compartmentalized with Cobweb.
And that's what, that's what I felt like here is because we've clearly got a boy that's troubled. Very. You know, he doesn't trust his parents. He doesn't feel safe with his parents. He
doesn't feel safe at school.
Doesn't feel safe at school.
He doesn't want to go to recess. He stays
so he's getting, he's kind of getting, I'm thinking like, okay, these knocks in the wall, which either way it was going to be stereotypical, right? Oh, he's crazy, or oh, there's a monster. Like there, either way it was going to be that way. But
you I think it's a monster is stereotypical. I almost thought that they kind of subverted.
So I think with it always goes back, right, in time. Like there for a while it was monsters, and then and then suddenly we had this era where psychological horror was a new thing, and now we're so used to that. We're so used to the I see dead people. It's really Bruce Willis. Like we're so used to that that now we can go back to where it started and be surprised by it. So I'm with you. I was actually more surprised that there was actually something.
I was too.
There was another movie. I don't want to name it.
I also thought it was the mom.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Yeah. Cause she's nuts and she plays so well. Yeah. There's another movie. I won't name it cause I don't want to spoil it, but it's very similar. I watched it not that long ago. And, it's one of those things where you think it's some weird psychological thing, or some mystical thing. And then really it's just someone hiding in the walls.
Dude, that's actually potentially creepier.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? 100%. Because you can immediately place it in real life.
Because here it's just like, yeah, on one hand, it could just be a really disturbed little boy. And that's a lot easier to handle than a spider woman stuck in your, in your walls.
So I love that you say it. So we get to the point. He's manipulated. He kills his parents. And then his bully's older brothers and henchmen are coming for him. And they're in purge masks and they want blood. Very scary. Very, very Stephen King-esque the way they captured the scary bullies. Because bullies are terrifying when you're the child.
Yeah.
They're terrifying as a parent to think about now.
Yeah.
Like it's to put yourself 100%. In that. They're utterly terrifying. So to put yourself in this poor little kid saying, and here they come. Lo and behold, their timing was horrific. And he unleashed a spider woman from hell.
Imagine just knocked. Being with some bros, and you're like, yeah, we're going to go pick on this nerd, and you get there, and it's a spider woman.
That's why you don't mess with the weird, quiet kid.
You don't.
You don't.
Do you know how many weirdos I
listen to this podcast?
Yes. You know how many? I just realized what I'm saying. How many weirdos I avoided in high school because I thought, yeah, he's going to be the one to snap.
Hey, what if you were the one?
No, it wasn't ever.
No, I'm joking.
But yeah,
I'm a weirdo, but I'm real though. ASAP Rocky.
Okay.
So I believe when ASAP had a cameo in this and Rihanna, I was so confused. but long live ASAP. So the bullies arrive, right?
Yeah.
And they mean business. They do a B&E. They kick the door down.
Have you ever kicked the door in? Have you ever broke into a place?
Yes.
Yes.
Not a home. Not a home. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, right.
But when I was in school, in high school and stuff, I was very bad. And I've broken into establishments.
Wow.
I broke into my own high school.
Okay. We probably shouldn't talk about this.
Joke. I read a story about that.
Yeah.
I promise, though.
You probably should edit that out.
It was in... No, I promise. Dude, no, it's fine. Okay, it's so 100 years ago.
Sorry, people.
Hey, I'm a bad boy.
Okay.
No, we didn't hurt anybody or anything. It was never that.
All right.
I would do anything for George W. Bush. That's really where I landed. You know what I mean?
What did that have to do with anything?
And so these bullies arrive at the wrong house at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Beautiful home, by the way. I love it.
Yeah.
And, well, Madam Webb is loose. So you then get this montage, and it's very pleasing because these guys suck.
Right.
So it's that part of like they deserve, and it's a fairy tale where like you don't want them to actually die.
Right.
But they meet very grotesque endings.
Yes, they do.
In very creepy ways.
Yeah.
Lifted up, dismembered, disemboweled, decapitated, and walking after.
Mm-hmm.
She takes no prisoners, and little Peter's just hiding up in his room.
Nope.
And then it's his turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then in walks again our Jane Doe. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
She's our substitute teacher.
Yeah.
Very, you, like you said, just has absolutely nothing.
There's
going.
No way a substitute
He did call
teacher,
her, though.
He did.
He did call right. her and ask he for did. Help. And he drew did. That picture, a la Insidious and asked
Okay,
for help.
Yeah, I was about to say that picture was like, I couldn't imagine getting that as a teacher.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Once again, shout out teachers.
Shout out teachers.
Shout out thick teachers. Sorry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying, boys. But Sharis, also 5-star review if enjoyed you made it this far.
Sharis with your thick teachers.
Your thick teachers. I call them thickchers. No, I don't. That makes me sound like I'm less. I don't call them that. But we do appreciate you sharing us around and the 5-star review. We're going to read them. We know we got another one on Spotify, and we cannot find out how to.
Yeah, we
know. And maybe nothing was written. But if you did that, please leave us another 5-star on Apple and then say you did that.
But we do appreciate it.
We do. And we will read it next episode in the beginning of the episode. Yeah. So drop us that 5-star hitter. Say you're ready for spooky season. You're ready for Spirit Halloween to open up. Your pumpkin spice latte. To,
I wonder, when are we going to get that Spirit Halloween movie?
Oh, that already came out. I watched it. It came out last year.
It came out. It's already out?
It came out last year. Last Halloween.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was kids. It was for kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A little gateway horror.
Oh, okay.
And I don't usually say that because I think stuff like, what's the picture based on Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is actually good.
Yeah.
I
thought it was fun.
Yeah. I don't like calling it gateway, but that genuinely was.
There was some creepy stuff in
that
movie.
Yes, 100%.
The Scarecrow and large thing in the hallway. That was creepy.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
terrifying.
Yes,
the amorphous blob that absorbed these kids.
Yeah, that was awful.
Talk about not having a happy ending.
For real.
That movie's awesome. But Cobweb, you get, and during that scene, so you get a lot of homage in this. Like I said, one of my kind of thoughts on this from a critical perspective, and I know I said it earlier, though, like you do have competing issues here, right? Mm-hmm. You have two movies. Yeah. One you think is going to be, and we don't use it. Yeah. We use this ironically elevated horror. Mm-hmm. But then you get, and I have a love for the absurd.
Yeah.
So it won me over. I understand it doesn't most.
I think
there's no cohesion.
Here's the thing. I think I do get what you mean by elevated horror. I do think that has its place. This movie was never going to achieve that.
No.
So I think it's best that it did go the monster movie route.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
it was never going to be Midsommar. It was never going to be Hereditary. It wasn't going to be...
Ari Aster's one messed up little dude.
He is. But it was never going to be The Menu. It was never going to be like anything like that.
No, and I even put his stuff even above that way. Oh, a gap.
Sure. Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, psychological horror, family, melodrama. It's all... This gives you a little bit, like I said, it is a collection of really cool scenes. You get some of The Shining homages, you know? You get Halloween setting, moody score.
Yeah,
but I would say it doesn't have adhesion or glue act to act, and especially going to the third act, it is a completely different movie.
It is, yeah.
But you get this crazy massacre.
I hate saying this because I feel like I say it all the time. I loved how this started off, and it just I like the monster movie angle. I thought she was terrifying.
Yeah.
I think I just wish that it felt like the same movie.
You know, I think it would have helped that. A critique I have is the parent-son relationship, I think, needed a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
A little more on screen.
I think as much as I think they did such a good job acting, the only reason we saw them be so seemingly unhinged from an audience perspective is to justify the boy killing them. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Because I felt like the weakness here is that what they should have done, kept the parents a little bit at bay, a little cold because they know they have something hiding in the walls.
I want to touch back on that.
Yeah. And then what I feel like they should have done was elevate the boy's anxiety about what's happening. And if you could bridge that gap of he's getting a lot more anxious, they seem a lot more suspicious. But I feel like maybe they just went too hard in the suspicious angle. That way they justified the boy killing them. And I think that's just a small thing that could have changed, that could have been better. What's your...
Did the parents... Because I agree.
Yeah.
Did they know? Because one of my... Like I told you...
They had to have known.
Because here's my thing. They locked him down in that basement.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They locked him down in the basement. If they thought she still existed, the gate's right there to go down into the well.
So do you think they thought she was dead?
I'm wondering, I'm asking you, do you think they were delusional? They wanted it to believe everything to be okay so bad. They isolate
Talk about why they had her in there, because we didn't really talk about that.
Yes, great point. Yeah. It's very much Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Very much. Yeah. So they have this daughter,
mm-hmm.
and she came out a freak.
Yeah, a freak. And kills.
Wait, question. I think I might be misremembering something.
Yeah.
Because the story in that neighborhood is the mm-hmm. little trick-or-treater girl and no one knows, untold mystery, right? Unsolved.
Right.
Does she kill? Oh, yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
You're sold as the parents.
Yeah.
Because the parents are made to be evil. They throw them down.
So you think that they killed somebody.
I think the spider daughter kills.
The spider daughter kills, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
They cover up the body. That's why you have the skull and the pumpkin patch. And they
locked
the daughter away.
They realized they couldn't even.
But how? I mean, would
I don't know why they didn't just kill her.
I have the same critique about Batman Returns, so don't worry. But like, would it not be known that that child was born? Like, what, all of a sudden their daughter just, what is this, a sitcom in the 90s, and all of a sudden one of the siblings just disappears?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. How much are they in each other's
business?
Like
all of a sudden you're like, hey, what happened to your second kid? Then you have a kid. Then you have a daughter.
They
what
are
happened?
Very isolationist, but that is still. But you would I
think
agree.
From just a government / like school or something like a. Yeah. You know, there would have been some kind of.
How old is she supposed to be? 3.
I think so.
So I guess she wouldn't be in school yet.
Right, but eventually, I mean, she'd be on the. I mean, right. I'm thinking way too much. Yeah, about no, it, I see. I'm thinking like.
I agree. It's a weaker part.
Yeah. Okay. So she's a freak, and what we think probably kills that girl trick or treating or whatever. And then they put her in the walls. Okay, but here's the thing. Here's where I think there is maybe.
Oh, does she escape to the walls? So they put her in the basement.
They put her in the well or whatever in the basement, and she gets in the walls. Or
she teaches herself to climb, and kill. And feed.
Okay,
and
so here's a critique.
And shoot webs out of her wrists.
With great power comes great responsibility. Okay, so no, the question is.
The Green Goblin's grenades their house out of nowhere.
Godspeed. Yeah. Godspeed, Spider-Man. You're welcome for that Willem Dafoe impression.
He's transcendent.
So here's the critique. If they think she's long gone, right? They think she's probably dead by now because they put her in a thing or whatever. Why would they still not allow their son to go trick-or-treating? Why would they keep him so close to the house?
Yeah.
If she's no longer the threat. Because the whole premise is someone died trick-or-treating. We don't know why or how. Now, if that was my neighborhood, and I just heard about a kid getting murdered, there's no one I'd move. But two, there's no way I'd let my kid trick-or-treat. So so there's that.
Were they going to kill him?
Huh?
Do you think they were potentially going to get, because they talked about restarting.
And kill their son?
Dad was going to have him dig. Do you think there is a chance the parents aren't necessarily?
Maybe they were crazy and they were just driven crazy by all this.
Yeah. Do you think I think there's a chance they were going to get rid of him. I actually think there's a chance he beat him to the punch.
Interesting.
Because the dad was going to have him dig and not say anything about it. Remember, he had the shovel.
Yeah.
And he talked about the black rot of the pumpkin.
See, here's the thing. I think there were so many story ideas here. They just said yes to all of them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think you're right.
So unfortunately,
it's messy.
It's messy. And it unravels
but
as it goes.
It's an hour and 28 and it takes place in autumn. Yeah. Halloween, you know, so bada bing.
But would you not, if, I mean, trying your best to put yourself in the parent's shoes.
Right.
You had this terrible situation with your weird demon daughter. And then a few years later, just a few years later, your son is complaining about knocking and stuff on the walls, wouldn't you? Maybe they thought he was going crazy and they were going to off him.
Or what if, gosh, that is interesting.
But we're what speculating about something because we didn't get enough information.
What if they're going to, that she's still alive? That brings the fear up. And so they might off him for that reason too, or just isolate him to the point of like getting that out of him, and then they can do something else or
find her. But if you think she's still alive, if your son's telling you that there's stuff in the wall, like he's hearing stuff in the walls, would you not think there's a chance it could be something awful? Because you know, and do something about it.
So is the Nile not just a river in Egypt? Do you think they're so messed up?
They're probably messed up. You can't do that to a kid without being messed up, right?
Why was the dad's arm gashed?
He had to have known she was still alive.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that's what he was probably trying to keep her at bay or something. I don't know. This movie, the more you think about this movie, the worse it is.
Well, and that's why I think you don't. We are.
Don't think about the movies you watch, people.
No, I'm kidding. I'll say this. Can I say this, yeah, though? I think this movie is better, not understood, but appreciated for me when read as a Grimm's fairy tale.
Yeah.
A collection of really autumnal, Halloween, moody, mm-hmm, creepy scenes where you don't know what's going on. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense,
yeah,
but it's fun. It's cool to look at, and it's totally a Halloween story come true.
Yep.
And I think that it gives us one of the best shots I've seen in a movie in 20 years.
What's that?
There's a shot where he's supposed to be up there and his parents are talking. It's late at night, mm-hmm, and they're down in the living room. And he creeps to the stairs to eavesdrop, the camera pans and you get their giant shadows and the little boy in between.
Yeah.
It's one of the most beautiful shots. The thing, they do another cool shot with shadows that I've ever seen. I mean, that shot was unbelievable. Again, there's not a lot of adhesion to this movie.
Yeah.
But I love a good fairy tale.
Yeah.
And I darn sure love Halloween.
I do love a dark fairy tale.
So like I did like Cobweb. Yeah. And I do recommend $6 for the VOD rental.
Okay.
You could, you know, ask yourself if you want to pay 20, mm-hmm, or you just want to pay $6 once a year and watch it on Halloween. I do think this gets watched again on Halloween, potentially with my mom.
Yeah.
And I can mention it to Elena and see if she's okay. Or what? Your wife's name is Lacey. But because I say
Lacey all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I could see potentially there.
Pause. I love how. Hold on. I love how you. So you thought we had some sort of anonymity with our real lives.
Our lovers.
And our wives. And I've been saying Lacey since day one. And you have been saying your wife. So you out your wife's name, and you think
I must have already been doing it.
And you think that you're throwing me under the bus by.
And I didn't hesitate.
I didn't hesitate.
I thought it was
that was the equivalent of using me as a human shield.
Yeah.
You would not take the bullet. You would make sure I took every bullet.
Your wife.
It's fantastic.
No, I'm joking. It was all a bit. It was all a bit.
Right.
But this is an incredible, this is a really fun script. There's a reason it was on the Blacklist and the Bloodlist.
Yeah.
It's a cool movie. It will be divisive. If you're looking for a cohesive story, act to act, you're not getting it here. If you're looking for what would have been an anthology in the Trick or Treat omnibus that gave us that incredible 2007 movie, then you do have that here. You got a one of no rules Halloween tale.
Yeah.
And that's how I think it's best enjoyed.
Yeah.
I do think Lizzie Kaplan, Anthony Starr, Cleopatra Coleman, and the kid, who's in both of our movies, by the way, Woody Norman.
That's so weird.
Are awesome. And I think Samuel Bowden's really good, the director.
Right.
I mean, I really mean, like, if you think about
it. No, you're right. No, I was laughing because I just thought this kid must have been so excited about having two movies come out and both get buried.
I know. But hey, how cool, though. Like,
I mean,
you got a little genre film star already.
Heck yeah.
And that's like the coolest. That's got to be the coolest. Yeah,
have two movies come out like the same year.
Yeah, what
have
we done?
We have nothing.
Yeah, I don't plan on it.
Yeah.
Halloween. Spirit Halloween. Do we need to go?
The Spirit Halloween?
Yeah, because Lena doesn't like it.
Oh, yeah, we'll go.
So I'll go with you.
Oh, 100%.
I love her, but I'm just saying it's not her bag. So it'd be really fun for us to go and just get naked and wear a mask and stuff.
Yeah.
listen, people. The air is starting to change. The leaves are going to do their little dance of auburn, yellow, and red to the floor.
Crisp out there.
It's going to. Like an apple.
Yeah.
Like an apple.
Yeah. Get some cider going.
You're
going
to have Trump versus Biden in 2024. I'm just joking. We got Hunter Biden. No, but you got football. You've got Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, yeah. Your birthday.
Okay, no.
My birthday.
Your birthday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your birthday, your wife's birthday, my wife's birthday, but not my birthday.
Correct. Shout out, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Mr. Paticky.
Yeah, he just had one.
Yeah. I won't give the, I don't know if that's a thing. Like, but yes, he did. So shout out, my son is 2 years old.
Wow.
And boy, he acts like it. Yeah. I love that little guy so
now you
much.
Hid his existence from me for about a year.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
That gets complicated, remember?
Yeah. No, I know. I just like giving you a hard time about it.
I was doing it completely out of like caring.
Right. Yes. I
know. Protection. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, but now you're Uncle Bobby, baby.
Yeah. You know how weird that just sounded to anybody listening?
That's when we start getting deep and personal and they start tuning in.
Yeah. But like, we're not going to explain it. So that's going to be, it's going to be like so weird.
The ending.
Just like this movie, we just gave you a weird ending.
Wait, what is the ending to this movie?
The cobweb?
Yeah. Teacher shows up after the entire bully and all his family are massacred. All the kids are dead.
Yeah.
And they fight her off.
Yeah.
They fight her off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a crazy fight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You think she's gone. They've banished her back to that and they close the gate on her, like mm-hmm. kind of like it and the mm-hmm. well in the basement. Mm-hmm. But then you get this scene. You can't tell if it's nightmare, anxiety, dream, or reality. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be all of those except reality because he's back in the house, back in his room, even though his parents are dead, everybody's dead, and she's standing behind him. And you get the monologue, I will always be with you.
Yeah. Kind of weird how both of our movies have like a. Almost like a slasher / monster movie and ambiguous.
I think they're nice.
Yeah, they're weirdly paired.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that's kind of ironic, but random. But I actually like them. I think it's neat. I love original IP, although one's Dracula.
Yeah.
I love horror to get in the mood for spooky season. Mm-hmm. And these are really unique, fun, just flicks to turn on. You know, if you want to wait on The Last Voyage to get to your house, go ahead. But like, I do not regret either of these. I will revisit Cobweb, especially because it's 1:28.
Yeah.
Around Halloween.
I probably will.
Yeah.
Too.
It's just freaky.
We'll try to get my wife to watch that with me.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. That's a fun. Yeah. It is a fun one. It's a fun Halloween group movie.
Yeah, it is.
Big time.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of like Talk to Me. Talk to Me is a better movie.
Yes. There's just,
you need to see that.
Yeah.
We should do a deep dive.
Yeah, we do.
Because I'll see it for a third time.
Okay.
But so start your spooky season right with The Last Voyage of the Demeter and Cobweb. Don't let these go get buried and never seen again.
Yeah.
Break the mast off like Dracula and terrorize London. How do you think that goes? So put yourself back at The Last Voyage and you see that ending. Does he just feast forever?
Yes. I think that's probably, I think so. And then I think you have, what's his name?
Van Helsing.
Clemens. I
wonderful character.
I saw Clemens becoming like a Dr. Loomis kind of thing.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
He's just one wacky guy out there talking about a vampire and like, okay, all right, sure.
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
If I was Dracula, I wouldn't even go after him. I'd just let him spread the myth.
And that's a big brain play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. I'm with you on that. And I wanna call someone out on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll probably do it again.
Yeah, call them out.
In a video. Okay. So a guy named Lee McCoy, if that's even your real name, wearing a little Batman sex mask, is at Drum Dumbs.
Is this someone you know?
No, he's a YouTube film critic. He's a certified Rotten Tomato guy.
Okay.
And so someone adds me and says, get him, to a post this gentleman made.
Okay.
This Lee McCoy, this Drum Dumbs, if you will.
Okay.
Let's and his post is Halloween Ends.
Okay.
It's greater than Scream 6. The more I think about it, by a country mile.
What?
So, Sterling, knowing my vehement hatred for Halloween Ends, ats me and says, get him. And I haven't yet because I'm
Saving it for the pod.
What'd you say?
You're saving it for the pod?
You know what? Sure. But really, I'm so busy. but I want to call out Lee McCoy and Drum Dumps. Let me ask you this, Lee McCoy.
All right, here we go.
You get a titular character from 1978, the boogeyman himself from John Carpenter, has made his way into the American zeitgeist, horror movie zeitgeist, one of the greatest characters and most known characters that literally borrows from Halloween, Samhain itself's namesake. And you follow him 40, almost 50 years. Mm-hmm. And then David Gordon Green brings him back in the amazing 2018 when the Halloween Kills. And then you... And then...
You do not stick the landing.
Yes, and then, my friend, you bring in this dork that gets his butt kicked by band geeks twice on the same day. And you're telling me he gets thrown off a bridge. Michael Myers drags him in like Pennywise into the sewer, chokes him out. Kid comes back, kicks his A, yeah. Beats the boogeyman up. Can't be killed. He's the boogeyman. Loomis told us that. He kicks his A after having his A kicked twice by band geeks. Band geeks. And you introduce a character in the third movie. He takes care of Michael Myers, the boogeyman, and he does his thing. Well, and you're telling me that's a good film.
Not only does you bring him in the third film of like a new trilogy, you bring him in after 40 years of his character not meaning jack.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So
this was supposed to be Laurie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it, you know, cliche, maybe. But that's the ending the fans would have wanted to see.
Right. So Lee McCoy, drum dumbs.
To piggyback off what you're saying.
Please, pile on them.
As much as we love Scream, one, it's a different person every time.
Yep.
And two, Michael Myers is, as much as we love Scream, it doesn't touch the mythos that is Halloween.
No.
That is Michael Myers.
No.
So, if a bigger IP, if a bigger story fails, it's a bigger they are, the harder they fall kind of thing.
100%.
And so you could have botched Scream 6. I mean, we talked about how we have differing opinions about some of those sequels.
I still think it's better than the trash can fire that is Halloween. Ends.
Yeah, it is. Because and even if it's just specifically because it's not worth as much,
right?
Do you know what I mean? Yes. I mean, it is a better movie.
Yes.
It's a way better movie. Just on those two movies alone, Scream 6 is a way better
Halloween
movie.
Ends even over edited. It took out Kimmy Kills and some awesome kill scenes and whatnot.
It's there's no comparison.
No.
There's no comparison. And again, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. The more disappointing. This is why I've ranted about The Dark Knight Rises before. Mm. Not because it's inherently a bad movie, but it's because the ones that came before it were so good.
That's a good point.
And for this one to not live up at all and give us a weak ending.
A guy that gets his butt kicked by band geeks beats up the boogeyman and the boogeyman doesn't do anything.
We've established, and not just over the years, but in this like sequel trilogy they did, that
Season of the Witch.
He doesn't go down that easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted it, yeah.
They wanted to be that there's entry anthology.
There's
from the
a reason though.
What'd you say?
There's a reason why Halloween 3 is the outlier.
Yeah. Like, now it does have this posthumous cult following now, and it's fine.
It does.
Because the original intent was going to be an anthology.
Yeah, that was the original intent.
But David Gordon Green already established the rules in 2018 in Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
He killed every redneck chanting Evil Dies Tonight with his bare hands after getting beat for 30 minutes by a bat.
Yeah.
And then he turns into this, he tries to make Haddonfield Dairy. He turns him into this guy that can be beat up by a guy that got beat up by band geeks.
By a country mile. He really said that.
Yeah. So we're calling you out, Lee McCoy, drum dumbs.
Insane.
Hey, your move, buddy.
Yeah.
And that's what's beautiful about horror. We all love each other, but you just made the list.
That's just wrong.
You just made the list.
Yeah, the blood list. Sorry.
The blood list.
Yeah.
We don't mean that.
Like, we don't mean
kill.
That.
We mean
no,
that.
We don't mean that.
The
at
scripts
all. He's
for
probably,
horror movies.
He's probably much more educated than we are.
No, don't. No. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Halloween's almost here. It rules. You all rule. We love you all, even you, Lee.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's have him on the pod.
Let's Let's have him on the pod.
Let's have him on the pod. Have a conversation.
I'm going to go to Haddonfield and burn it down with him in it.
Okay. That's...
Don't you ever say Halloween Ends is a good movie, you mother.
No, yeah, that's bad.
Bye-bye, Lee.
Yeah.
End scene. Get it?
Yeah.
It's a movie.
It was a movie.
Where's the band geek to come beat me up? I wish... I wish a trumpet player would, brother. I wish they would.
You know who could? A tuba player.
Michael Myers.
A tuba player could. No,
brother,
could.
Michael Myers.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean us specifically.
That's what's been established in the other films.
Right.
So then he goes, go watch some horror movies. Get ready for the spooky season. I don't really know what to tease for next week's episode other than we are ramping up for spooky season.
Mm-hmm.
We still want to give you that theatrical review so you know if it's worth spending your money because we value you, the sexy people. Yeah. Even those that are mid. We love you. Please drop us that 5-star hitter review and share us. If you've hung in this long, you probably are Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Or Jason, of course. Sam Rama. But I hope you enjoyed The Last Voyage of the Demeter and Cobweb. What a great little title of Cobweb mm-hmm. is. We did, you know, Rob, a little less, but they were fun. They were fun. You said
yeah.
they're fun?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, go watch spooky movies. Stay tuned. Next week, we're going to drop you a crazy hitter. I don't even know what comes out next week besides like Gran Turismo, Strays, and there's a bigger...
Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle comes out, yeah.
Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That'll be that's a big one. Well, yeah. Is it though?
No, I think it's going to bomb.
It's going to bomb. It's going to bomb.
It's going to bomb.
It's going to bomb because the DCU, the Snyderverse, is coming to an end, and... Yeah. We're not going to see new DCU stuff until Superman. I'm going to say it. People are going to disagree, but I think superhero fatigue is setting in. It's going to bomb, much like our movie this week. Dracula on a Boat bombed. Yep. Bombed bad.
Yeah.
It was made, what, $6 million out of $45 million budget, something like that?
Yeah, maybe it's to find their legs on streaming during Halloween season.
Yeah, I hope so.
Me too.
I hope so. But you're right. I don't know if Blue Beetle is going to be good or not, but I can tell you right now it's going to bomb.
It's going to bomb, but I'm still interested.
I'm interested, of course. Yeah, I love that character.
Right. You do. Yeah, you talked about that
character. So we'll see.
No, and I got faith in James Gunn. I love DCU. So, I should say the DCU is a little bit desired. But yeah, so get ready for that spooky season. We might hit you with that Blue Beetle heater, a couple horrors. We'll figure it out. Follow us so you know you got him at Bobby the Hut.
Yep.
You got me at the Al Capone.
Oh, you're going to say it now.
Just now because I got beef with this gentleman.
Oh, no.
So it's THEALCAPOWN, a.k.a. Big Daddy Horror.
Okay.
With a W. Think about that one. Horror. Okay. You understand me?
I do. Unfortunately,
welcome to my world. What did you say? I was going to do a Freddy quote.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't want to say it.
No. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Guys, we love you. God bless. I hope you're all enjoying this season. I hope summer comes to a conclusion. And autumn marches its way right into our hearts and fannies. You got Ken.
You got Rob.
And we watch way more movies than you. See you, people.
Sorry, people.
Except for Lee.
Yeah, sorry, Lee.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Here's Johnny.
Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond.
Make your lives extraordinary.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Welcome to I Watch More Movies Than You, and please take that as a challenge. What else on earth can you spend $10 and then leave the planet for 2 hours? Only movies. Come join us as we experience, explore, and journey through the greatest art form in history.
And here we go.